Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to turn to things urological. And when we do so, when it comes to the male anatomy, we often consult our resident expert, Dr. Gio Espinosa. He's been a previous guest here on Intelligent Medicine. He always has a useful perspective on male urological problems. And to remind you, he is a naturopathic physician. He's also a licensed acupuncturist. But he has a distinction as a naturopathic physician because he works in the belly of the beast in a conventional medical center. In 2010, he founded the Integrative Urology Center at New York University Langone Medical Center. So that's a conventional medical center. It's an unprecedented step. They brought in a naturopathic specialist to help with those very difficult to treat urological conditions that men often bring to the fore. And I'm sure they're very happy to have you there, Gio, because they're very happy to have you there because very often, you know, as you know, in with men's urological problems, they need a lifeline because these problems sometimes are very hard to treat using conventional techniques, medicines, surgeries, whatnot, and so they have recourse to a more naturopathic approach. Example of which, natural prevention of prostate cancer. Man has prostate cancer. They treat them successfully, so it seems, but then what do you do? And then that's where you step in. We're talking today about one of the themes of today's program is, you know, all those ads that you see for male enhancement. I have a great deal of skepticism for some of these products, although there is a basis for believing that some herbs are the real deal when it comes to enhancing men's vitality. And so we got to really look at the science of this. I know that you are a responsible researcher. You're naturopathically trained. You actually completed a fellowship in the Center for Holistic Urology, previously at Columbia University Medical Center, working with Dr. Katz there, who's also a frequent guest here on this podcast, is recognized as a world's expert in complementary urology. So you've got a great background in this field. So what's the deal? I mean, you hear about these claims, these products, give you stronger erections, they enhance your sexual response, and at the same time, they improve your prostate function. It sounds too good to be true. So what's the real deal?
The reality is that if it's too good to be true, if it sounds like it's too good to be true, it likely is too good to be true. Here, how it works is that, and by the way, Ron, thank you so much for having me on your show. I am not only, I love being on your show, but I love listening to your podcast, and I'm a huge fan of your show, and I download it all the time, so thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's great to hear from you, who is a health professional, because, you know, that's I think, part of our audience. We do get health professionals who enjoy, you know, hearing the latest updates, so thanks.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. So, yeah, I'm involved in this prostate penis world every day of my life. it's the bulk of my clinical experience. And so I'm able to kind of figure out a little bit of what's what just from experience and the intense research that I do. So what I have noticed is that some of these dietary supplements that are male enhancement, when they work too well, that means typically that is contaminated with one of the PDE5 inhibiting drugs, things like Viagra, Levitra, Cialis.
So that is a problem. So in other words, these are spiked supplements that illegally contain. So I mean, they work like the drugs, sort of, but it you don't really know what you're getting. Are you getting like too much, too little, or you know, is it bootleg? Is it a quality material? You don't even know.
Correct. You have no idea what you're getting when you are taking one of these dietary supplements. and it's a big problem. And by the way, I'll excuse me from all the puns.
Yes. Okay. once we get going on this, there's going to be that this is a perilous subject to discuss. So go ahead.
Right. So when I was formulating a male vitality, male supplement several years ago, doing all the research to see what makes sense, one of the dietary supplements that was, you know, my friends were telling me about it, or some patients were taking, what's called Pea Boost. And Pea Boost was like the best thing to, you know, to help men perform better. And it worked incredibly well.
So that's a brand name. That's not the name of an herb from the Amazon, Pea Boost. It's a formula.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that was a formula. And I looked at, you know, when I formulated this dietary supplement, I looked at about 100 formulas. Number one, I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. Number two, you know, how can we be a little bit different where there's enough science to support, any claims or anything. So this particular brand of Pea Boost, they used to sell them in singles, you know, in stores over the counter, you know, by bodegas and things like that.
Right,
in
right.
Washington D.C. You know,
it's like I got a hot date tonight. Give me something.
Exactly.
Right.
I want that red pill.
Okay. Right.
So, and again, patients were telling me this thing is great. I take it an hour before, and voila, you know, I perform. And I'm like, oh my god! And what did it have? Well, the typical herbs that you would find: horny goat, weed, maca, arginine, things like that. So, and I was thinking, well, there's no way this could work that well. Lo and behold, a few months ago, the FDA stepped in and pulled it off the market because it was found to have tadalafil, which is Cialis.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
So it really did work.
Exactly. Of course. So maybe the customer will say, well, great. I could get, a little Cialis in this pill. Well, no, not great. These things have significant side effects, and that's why they're prescribed drugs.
Right.
They can cause heart problems, and they have negative interactions with certain medications, et cetera, et cetera.
Incidentally, just while we're at it, because you're a naturopath, but you're not doctrinally opposed to the use of Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, that genre of medication. I mean, for some men, that may be appropriate, right?
Thank you for bringing that up, and that's the absolute truth. I want results for my patients.
Yeah.
I want to carefully provide them with things that will give them results. Look, over 50% of male patients that can't perform is psychological.
Yes.
If anything, Cialis, Levitra, and Viagra gives them a good psychological boost. If anything, if not physiological, definitely psychological. The biggest cause of sexual dysfunction among men is performance anxiety.
Yes. Right.
So typically, I have no problem.
So it's almost like you want to jumpstart sexual performance. Once you feel like things are happening down there, it's sort of like you get rid of the trainer wheels and you get back in the groove.
Correct. Problem, however, they become psychologically dependent to the drugs.
I see. Okay. It's like, oh my god, like I took my dream vacation, but I forgot my Viagra. Here I am. I'm spending money on this wonderful second honeymoon in Bermuda, and I left my Viagra home.
Right. And that's it. And they would not, they'll have a very low performance time, in the Bahamas or what have you. So correct. So that is the problem, and I'm very clear in the beginning. Look, I have no problems, but you need to understand that you cannot become, psychologically addicted to these pills. They are long-term side effects, and some of the long-term side effects include things like blurred vision, bad headaches, bad back pain. And I tell you what, one of the things that you don't see written on the labels of these things or anything is that a lot of patients have complained to me that their organ, it feels detached.
Wow.
From their bodies.
Wow, that's weird.
In other words, yes, they're able to, get a firm erection.
Right.
But it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel normal. It feels like it's not part of them.
It's like a mechanical, plumbing trick.
Exactly. So they don't really oftentimes enjoy the intimacy.
As I see.
A result of that one fact. So,
right.
You know, although, and again, I agree. I'm not opposed to them, but there are problems that could come along. So, long end of it is that, you know, a lot of the supplements out there, a lot of them actually, some of them come from China, and oftentimes these type of supplements that do come from China are, in one way or another, spiked with the drug.
Right. They're famous for doing that. They're famous. The Chinese are just really destroying their reputation, infamous, notorious, because and this, they're spoiling all the potential goodwill that they might get from offering, you know, mass produced, relatively inexpensive products. I mean, yes, they you know, it's offshore and labor is cheaper, but my goodness, they're just ruining it for themselves.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I want to tell your audience is that none of these supplements, dietary supplements, perform as enhancements for their organ. In other words, there's no engorgement, there's no enlargement necessarily. And the reason I'm saying that, I'm looking at one right now.
Right.
The Men's Club Enlargement Formula Dietary Supplement.
Yeah, this is, I mean, let's dispel this right now. You know, first of all, you know, whether or not you believe that size matters, and the vast majority of women really do not give, it's the men who care. You know, it's
right,
like,
exactly.
It's like, you know, really, come on, you know, let's get past that. But, this has been an eternal quest by men. I think in primitive societies, you know, going back thousands of years, men have always desired larger penises. I mean, it's just something about, you know, like.
Well, you see statues of these Greek gods all over the place, right? They're naked, you know.
But they have tiny penises usually. They have great muscles,
right.
But they have very small penises. You know,
penis is 6 inches.
Okay.
And average. And I can tell you that, you know, again, I'm in this field. I see a lot of these type of situations, and most of them are the ones that I've seen clinically are either around 6 inches or a little bit less large than 6 inches. So men need to kind of get over this idea that, you know, bigger is better.
Okay, let's forget this idea that bigger is better, but still, many of these products claim to make your penis grow. So let's dispel that once.
Does a good job at that, by the way. You remember Spylene?
Absolutely, but let's
see the commercials on ESPN.
Yeah, that was on the air for a long time. By the way, I think there was a very large multi-million-dollar settlement the FTC, and there was, I don't know, maybe a class action suit. They had to return money. There was they had to give back a lot of money there.
Right. The guy. Was in jail, and I think his mother was involved as well. And
his mother
incarcerated as well. It was a big scandal.
That's a terrible thing. If you were making a penis enlargement supplement, for you to go to jail, but if you have to share a jail cell with your mother, it's particularly ignominious, I think. But I think poetic justice, perhaps poetic justice for someone who rips men off that way.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
There's no way that an adult penis can be grown with a dietary supplement. I mean, yes, I mean, you could do some form of surgery or attach weights to your penis or stretch it, but it's going to affect the flaccid penis, not the erect penis, right?
Yeah, correct. So what happens is, so some of the particularly with the formulas that I work with, what they do is men do get a little bit more circulation in that area. They do get this very mild type of, you can promote blood flow to the area with natural ingredients and natural formulas that are 100% natural, of course. So they have the perception that it's enlarged. But it's a perception, just because there's more blood flow to the area.
So it's tumescence, actually, not actually the size of the organ. So a partially erect penis may appear larger. That, you know, I don't.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
So natural, a real good natural formula for male sexual health is not adventurous.
Oh.
So they cannot take two pills right before becoming active and think that this is going to be it for them. It takes time to build up.
Okay, that's a very, very important point you're making. So you're saying that you can support optimal sexual functioning. That's, I think, a modest claim. But it's not like you're going to have, like, an instantaneous result, which, frankly, some of these erectile dysfunction medications can deliver.
Correct. That's absolutely right. it's not event-driven. It builds up within time, and typically it takes, you know, men will consume some of these high-quality, you know, pills every day, like a vitamin, and they would take it, you know, and by the, you know, day six, day eight, day ten, they see a significant improvement in their sexual performance, not like a Viagra where it feels like, you know, their organ is detached from their body, but a much, you know, much more natural type of erection that, you know, is more enjoyable, I think.
Okay, so it sounds like there are several mechanisms to work on. Okay, one is, you know, we hear constantly nitric oxide. You know, that's the thing that promotes circulation.
That's the buzzword,
right?
For promotion of circulation, particularly, obviously, nitric oxide works in many other areas of the body, but particularly in the pelvic region where you would want it to work.
Right,
and actually.
I have to tell you a little interesting sideline. I was one of the first medical journalists, to write an article about Viagra. Because here's the story. I used to write articles for Penthouse Magazine. Penthouse Magazine actually ran a lot of interesting science articles and health articles between the dirty pictures. They had interesting content. And Kathy Guccione, the wife of Bob Guccione, was a real health enthusiast. She was into longevity, and she was into all kinds of natural anti-aging treatments. And Bob Guccione was fascinated by this as well. So, you know, I would have monthly meetings with Bob, and he would ask, you know, what's new on the health front? And at one meeting, I said, Bob, I hear tell that they have developed a new medication that is going to revolutionize men's sexuality. It's going to really overcome the problem of erectile dysfunction for men who have it, but also for men who have normal sexual function. It will put them into overdrive. They'll be able to perform more frequently and better, and yada yada. And so he immediately said, "Well, two things. One, I want you to write an article for Penthouse Magazine on this. And number two, let's see if you can get a hold of some of this for me." And he's, this was like a real exciting thing. When I did the research, what I found was that, as you know, probably the Viagra story, is it was originally sildenafil was tried out as a heart drug because it was designed to improve circulation of the heart. So they did the research with the men, and then they completed the research. They said, you know, they paid the men. They said, thank you very much for participating in the research. And then some of the men said, you know, called up the research place and said, hey, you know something? We're going to get a hold of some more of that stuff. They said, well, the experiment is over. You know, we're done with you. We're not going to give you any more of this medication. And, you know, we're going to file for, we're going to analyze the research. It'll take us a couple of years. So it game over. So the men kept asking about it. And then they realized that it had this interesting side effect. They said, well, why are you so interested in this medication? They said, well, it's having a very peculiar side effect on me. And that's how Viagra was born. They said, wow, that's really, right. And it turned out it didn't really help the heart very much. It wasn't.
Exactly right.
And it was a serendipitous discovery. So I delved into this research. I guess it was Pfizer who discovered it. And, I wrote an article, 5,000 words, and, you know, Penthouse Magazine paid me. And, that was 1997, 1998 that came out.
The advent of Viagra was 1998.
But so it's based on the principle of nitric oxide. I'm sorry about the little digression.
No, it's quite all right. It's a very interesting story. I think your listening audience would be highly interested. It's the fact that this drug was, you know, the original goal was to see if it had any heart benefit and with heart disease. And, well, it didn't have any heart benefit. But by the way.
Yes.
As an aside. Look, the reality is that Viagra is revolutionary in many ways. Number one is that men are willing to talk about their problem more often. And in my practice, I definitely want to know if my patients get an erection, not because so much so that they function sexually, but the penis is a barometer to the rest of the body, and particularly the heart. So I want to know if my patients wake up with erections or when they want to function, if they can function successfully, because I want to know how, you know, that can, if they're not functioning successfully, that can mean that there's blocked arteries in places that are more, you know, more significant part, let's say.
Yeah. Sometimes it's referred to as the dipstick of the body.
Exactly.
Right?
And
cars don't have dipsticks anymore. I bought a new car and I said, where do I go to check the oil? And the guy says, you can't. You know, you just check electronically. Here's like the dial in the instrument panel. I said, can I get under the hood? There's no more dipsticks. But, the male body has a dipstick, and that is the ability to have it, at least the ability to have an erection. Whether you choose or not to exercise that ability or not, that's up to you. That's your free will.
Right. So how do you build more nitric oxide naturally? So here's the lowdown on this, Ron. It turns out, as you know, that L-arginine increases a precursor to nitric oxide. So therefore, you consume L-arginine, you produce more nitric oxide, and hopefully you can function better with L-arginine. Actually, one study showed that 5 grams a day of L-arginine was actually effective in helping men with, you know, performing sexually.
That's about like a teaspoon of a powder.
5 grams, correct. A teaspoon of the powder or in pills, in which case then is a lot of pills.
Ten pills maybe.
About 10 pills.
Yeah.
So not only, the problem with L-arginine is that you have to take it continuously throughout the day because your body metabolizes it very quickly.
Yeah.
There's arginase enzymes in the GI and the liver that breaks it down very quickly, so you need to consume it 3 to 4 times a day, so it's not practical. Another study showed that L-citrulline, number one, produces more L-arginine than the consumption of L-arginine. So if I want to increase L-arginine, I typically recommend and prescribe citrulline. A different amino acid that's a precursor to arginine, and it seems to have the ability of creating more arginine in the body than arginine itself. Consumption of arginine. And in one study showed that in a small study that it showed that it was much more effective in terms of this questionnaire called the hardness factor. So it improved the quote-unquote hardness factor in a group of men who were taking citrulline in a small study.
I never took that test. I've taken the SATs, I've taken MCATs, but I've never taken the hardness factor test. But I guess that's a test that you sometimes administer to patients when you do an intake on erectile problems.
Stop by the office here, Ron.
Okay, fine, great.
So I use also, long story short, I use citrulline. I don't use a lot of arginine. The other thing is that you have to look at what's going on with a typical patient who's having problems. So what's going on is that, they wake up early, they work in 12 hours a day, they come back home, they're pooped out. They're stressed and tired and having a lot of, stress fatigue.
Yes.
Mental fatigue. So one of my favorite herbs to counteract that, Ron, is rhodiola.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Rhodiola is my favorite. Why? Well, number one, actually, there's good randomized trials showing that it promotes energy from those that work long hours. It promotes mental energy, it promotes physical energy, and it kind of keeps those keeps people engaged.
It's an adaptogen also.
It's an adaptogen.
Yeah,
correct.
Right. I personally take it every day, not per se for erectile issues, but I just take it as a general tonic. I think it's, and when, we're dealing with stress and urban life and, the grind of daily practice, and, athletic, performance, I think it's a really good, stress buster.
Absolutely. I take it every day myself. It's an incredible, it's one of my favorite adaptogens, and there's quite a few of them. Rhodiola is my favorite. The other is actually, there is significant evidence showing that Epimedium, another herb, known as, in the streets, as horny goatweed, has actually a chemical called isarin in it, and isarin is actually a PDE5 inhibitor, just kind of like Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis, except that. In order to have that same powerful effect, you need a lot of it.
Right.
If you take the whole herb with a standardized concentration of the isarin, then that typically produces a very nice response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the other two things that I like to, a very nice combination that I like as a regular, two groups of nutrients that nourishes the endothelial cells of the artery, so those are the inner lining arteries of the penis, is one that's used for many other reasons, like heart health. Pomegranate, extract, mm-hmm. and resveratrol.
Actually, there is some pomegranate research on, I believe it's on prostate cancer, but I think there's also some research showing that it's a circulatory enhancer.
And there's research showing in humans that it enhances sexual performance in about 50, in a group of 53 men. So it actually has, there's a lot, and the thought is that it does so by nourishing the endothelial cells. Healthy endothelial cells will help produce good amounts of nitric oxide.
Okay, but if you smoke two packs of cigarettes a day, you'll overwhelm the pomegranate. So you got to do the right thing also in terms of lifestyle.
That's disastrous to the penis.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
I think that's the key message that we have to get across to teenage men, teenage boys, is that you're going to have problems downstairs.
And that motivates almost any male.
Yeah.
It's just the most amazing thing.
Right.
You tell them, if you tell
lung cancer, them, heart attack, forget about that.
You're going to get lung cancer if you continue to smoke. They will continue to smoke.
Right, right.
But if you tell them, look, you're not going to be able to function sexually if you continue to smoke, they'll stop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the most amazing thing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So that's the kind of formula. So that's the kind of, so you have to look when you're taking, and of course, we're kind of overlooking the obvious. You need to exercise. You need to slim down your waistline. Metabolic syndrome does not help with sexual function, which is, any combination of hypertension,
right.
a big waist, high triglycerides, et cetera. That doesn't help. So you need to kind of get fit.
So we can easily say, if you can't see your junk, there's a tendency for your junk not to function properly.
That's right.
I think I've just coined a phrase there.
That's right.
I've coined a phrase.
You need to be able to see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little aphorism we can use. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
A nice combination of the right supplement enhances, other proper lifestyle approaches that will really help men, function properly. And I think that, I think that's the way to go with dietary supplements, as opposed to thinking that it's, again, event-driven or it works like a Viagra or something.
And you have actually incorporated some of these ideas in a formula. This is not an infomercial. I'm not, here to specifically promote a product, but actually there's a scientifically researched and responsible product that's guaranteed to be free of harmful additives or spiked with medications that's made in the USA, good old USA, and you've vetted it and carefully researched it and you put it out. How can people access that?
So it's called Mr. Happy.
And okay, that's a good
one with the name. Here,
that's a good
the
name.
Packaging. There's no question. When we're talking about these type of topics, we need to have some fun. The whole
right.
with the process. If not, it could be highly daunting, to be quite honest.
Do you have a picture of a cartoon figure there, Mr. Happy? There.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're right. I it took me about 3 years to put the right formula together and trials here in my clinic and try different things and kind of to figure out what really worked. And I want things to work, obviously, from a health perspective. So I'm interested in sexual health with an emphasis in health so that, things that work systemically like pomegranate extract and resveratrol, and that's what we added these two ingredients in. But I did want, of course, for men to be able to function. If promoted health and men did not function, then it wouldn't be too good. So we kind of went back to the drawing board a few times. We revised the formula, and we finally got a formula that's actually pretty helpful, and really men are really enjoying all the good things and of intimacy. So yeah, it's called Mr. Happy.
Great, and they can access it through your website?
I am MrHappy.com, so it was all one word, I am MrHappy.com.
Okay, and your scientific website, your professional website is drgeo.com.
Okay. Yes, drgeo.com.
Right.
Drgeo.com, yeah.
But, let's talk about lifestyle, because actually, when men ask, give me something for sexual functioning, I sometimes say, well, that's sort of what do I take? And it's sort of a trick question. I think that the formula for optimal sexual functioning is to optimize your overall functioning, because I think that grows out of exercise And particularly not so much, incessant aerobic exercise. I think that's a good way to kill your sex drive. I think that's why they have Marine recruits do 50-mile marches with full packs and, weapons. Because by the time they're done with that, the bunch of, horny 19-year-olds, they're not going to be thinking about sex. But they're not going to be thinking about sex. They're just going to be exhausted. They'll go to sleep. But right. Strength training seems to be more beneficial in terms of spiking your testosterone and building your sex drive.
Particularly strength training of bigger muscles like legs and back.
Okay.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Chest muscles, the large muscles.
Chest, back, yeah. Legs. Mm. And a lot of the patients that I see just completely ignore their legs, and that's a big problem for general fitness, but even to if they're interested in enhancing their growth hormone levels and testosterone levels, you definitely have to work out those legs.
So actually, some studies show that there actually is an increase in testosterone in response to certain forms of physical exercise, particularly strength training.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, there are dietary elements to that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're on like a raw foods vegetarian diet, you're eating seaweed and sprouts all day long, without very much protein or cholesterol, is it possible that that would diminish your output of testosterone?
That's what I see clinically, and that's what I theorize. There hasn't been anything written in that with raw foodists and men and their abilities to perform and or increase testosterone. But certainly, in Chinese medicine, poor sexual function is due to a combination of different things, but a lower dampness is one of the things that can induce erectile dysfunction and things of the sort. And typically, raw foods induce dampness or damp heat of the lower area.
So you might want some more fiery foods in your diet.
Yeah, exactly. So things like cayenne and spices and protein. Absolutely, good quality protein. I'm not a hardcore paleo guy per se, but I do find that some patients who are willing to just add more protein to their diet, they just seem to do a lot better, all in all.
Now, many of these products that purport to help with sexual functioning are based on a saw palmetto, or they're based on the beta-sitosterol, because they claim that, we're going to help your prostate and you're going to be better in the sack as a result. Do you believe that that's an important ingredient for helping sexual performance, or is it just more about shrinking your prostate and making you have less urinary difficulties?
That's an interesting question, interesting point, Ron. There is a connection with an enlarged prostate that seems to impinge on the pudendal nerve that goes into the penis. So there is evidence indicating that BPH, or benign prostatic hyperplasia, or enlargement of the prostate, seems to have also an effect on erectile function. So in one of the drugs that's actually been used pretty successfully in research, actually, for both, it's Cialis, low-dose Cialis.
Yes.
Instead of about 5
yeah. That's interesting. What you just brought up is very interesting, because now I'm seeing that urologists and surgeons are actually giving men these erectile dysfunction medications, not just so that they can have a good bout of sex, but to help improve circulation or to help improve function down there. So they take these medications continually.
Daily. That's absolutely right. 5 milligrams a day. Cialis is the one that's been shown to have any level of benefit taken daily, as opposed to Levitra or Viagra. So
because it's a more slow-acting medication.
Because it's correct. It kind of hangs around a little longer,
right?
Than all the others. So while the other ones are metabolized within 2 to 3 hours, Cialis actually hangs around to 12 to 20 hours.
So I hear sometimes that after prostate surgery or after radiation, where there is a potential for erectile dysfunction, they sometimes tell men right away to get into something called PR, penile rehabilitation, right, which is really an interesting term, because we tend to think of, I just had hip surgery, so I'm going to have physical therapy or rehabilitation. But after surgery of that part of your body, I guess you need some rehab too. So is it part of it to take certain supplements or medications?
Yeah, there's no hardcore physical therapy for penile rehabilitation, Ron. Not one that I've seen. Maybe here in New York, I'm sure there are some places, some of these massage parlors. But no, rehab.
That's not referred to as Mr. Happy. I think that's referred to as a happy ending, I think.
That's right. I'm getting the names confused.
Right, right.
That's right. So part of the penile rehabilitation after prostate surgery or radiation is indeed some low-level PDE5 inhibitor like Cialis.
Okay. Sort of just to get circulation back and to reestablish function. Okay, got it.
Correct.
All right. Look, we don't want to make light of this, but this is a really important part of overall health and well-being. And it's great to have a really open discussion with you because this is the work you do day in and day out. And I think maintaining a healthy attitude and openness and a healthy sense of humor about it, I think, is important because otherwise it just becomes a grim process. We don't want to make it. We don't want to pathologize this too much.
No, and it's important that men do for the men not to ignore if they're having sexual issues. Not only is it important from a health perspective, so men, with any age, quite frankly, in their 70s, should have erections. They should wake up with one every now and then, or they should be able to perform if that's what they choose to do. Also, it's a very important part of quality of life. I have many prostate cancer patients with low grade cancer that
Yep.
choose not to undergo aggressive therapies because they do enjoy, good sexual function, and that's a very important part of their quality of life. So,
well, quality of life
shouldn't be ignored.
Yeah, quality of life is very important. And actually, I think there's a recent study that showed that couples that are active sexually, well into their older, look, I don't want to stigmatize couples who've just made a decision. Look, this is not for us. We're not doing this anymore. I don't want to put pressure on people that, you have to be a sexual, Olympian at,
right,
90. But there are studies that actually show that people who have physical, issues and physical debilitation, if they're more sexually active, that it helps them to, overcome, pain conditions and various types of other debilitating conditions. So, it's a form of overall conditioning and intimacy and releases healing and pain controlling substances because it's nature's form of anesthesia in a way.
Yeah, to reemphasize your point, we don't want to put any pressure on anybody. So if they, they haven't been, active for, 5-10 years, and I do have patients that say, that's not an important part of our life. Great, no problem. But I still want to make sure, or if we can, that you do get an erection, even, for you to wake up with one every now and then, just because, again, it's a very important part of health.
Indeed. The other aspect to this is, we always talk about testosterone. I personally, as an MD, I prescribe testosterone to some of the men in my practice, sometimes for sexual purposes, but more often because they feel that low T syndrome. They feel devitalized. They feel tired. They often have, too much body fat. They may have metabolic syndrome. And this is actually bad for the heart, and it's bad for you psychologically, and you kind of get into the dumps. Are there natural ways to enhance testosterone? Testosterone, short of getting a testosterone patch or testosterone injections, where you're using naturopathic techniques with your patients?
In terms of actual pills, natural pills, herbs, things like tribulus, I have not found those to be too effective, to be
okay.
quite honest with you. What I do find is that lifestyle, right, if they are sexually active, sexual activity naturally increases testosterone levels. And if they get their bodies back in shape in terms of less of this metabolic syndrome presentation, more of, a little bit more muscle, exercising these big muscles like we said before, that marginally, slowly increases testosterone levels. It takes a little bit longer. Some men sometimes do need a little, boost in their T level. So in some men, and it's very, obviously, one must be careful here, if you overly treat men with testosterone, then that could be, you're not monitoring them correctly, then that could be an issue. So some men who need that extra initial boost, some testosterone external testosterone, which works just fine. They get that little boost. They get their, you know, they start exercising and start doing well, and then we see if they're able to sustain their T levels, you know, with normal lifestyle modifications.
Yeah, I do see that. I have patients where, you know, they're overweight, flabby, demotivated, unable or unwilling to perform physical exercise. And then, you know, we discover they have very low testosterone. We give them testosterone. They sort of get religion. They get in a very healthy program. They're revitalized and energized. They lose a lot of weight. And then at the end of the day, we're able to wean them off to testosterone, and lo and behold, their levels are normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and that's the right way. Some of these, they're seeing a lot of these anti-aging clinics that I think they push the envelope a little bit too much.
Right, because you know, people want to look awesome past a certain age. They want that perfect muscle definition, and maybe they're putting themselves at risk unnecessarily. Right. What about DHEA? That is available over the counter, and also purports to be a sexual enhancer. Have you found it useful?
Yes, it is useful, particularly in those patients that are DHEA deficient. Not so much in patients that are not deficient in DHEA. My concern with DHEA is that it could go to either of two pathways, right? It can go into testosterone, and if you're deficient in testosterone and you're deficient in DHEA, then that's perfect. But if you already have normal levels of DHEA, it can take a different route and kind of make too much estrogen. So the proper way to do it is you take, you know, blood work of all these three things, DHEA, total and free testosterone, and estradiol, and you monitor the patient closely to make sure that your prescription of DHEA is working for them favorably.
Right, because it's a funny thing. It can sometimes help the testosterone pathway, or sometimes it gets shunted to estrogen unnecessarily. All right, I just wanted to switch gears, and, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about sexual issues, but recently you wrote a fantastic critique, which is posted at drgeo.com. There was yet another study suggesting that supplements are dangerous or harmful, and this pertains to vitamin E and selenium in something called the SELECT study, and the headlines were taking vitamin E and selenium could not only not prevent prostate cancer. There were some disappointing results a few years back suggesting that they were not that useful, but that they could actually promote high-grade prostate cancers merely by taking vitamin E and selenium. So you wrote a very nice critique. Can you summarize it for us in a couple of minutes?
Sure. So my title was Time to Unselect. And very disappointing, just because if we're going to spend a lot of money on studying nutritional supplements and its ability to prevent disease, we need to do a much better job in choosing the right formulas and the right vitamins and minerals. So it's very disappointing because this study was over $150 million. Actually, some experts say that it was closer to $300 million study, taxpayer money. So essentially, SELECT study looked at synthetic alpha-tocopherol vitamin E versus selenium, L-selenomethionine, or in combination or placebo. So it was four arms, just selenium, just vitamin E, alpha tocopherol, or in combination or placebo, to see if it prevented the risk of prostate cancer. This study was initiated in 2001. Within time, studies they closed the study early because it showed no benefit in 2008. Later on, we learned with other follow-up research papers suggesting that it increased the risk of prostate cancer by 17%, and now lately it showed that it increased the risk of advanced prostate cancer by a significant amount as well, or with those that took the selenium arm. Okay, so what the problem here is that alpha tocopherol actually by itself, synthetic alpha tocopherol, does not show any benefit in any study or in very few studies, particularly at 400 units a day.
Actually, just to interrupt you, what's interesting is, I mean, that's not the right form of vitamin E, and we have long since abandoned its use. But recently, a study was done with 2,000 international units of that type of vitamin E, D-alpha tocopherol, in Alzheimer's patients or patients with moderate dementia, and it slowed their progression to disability using these very high doses of the stuff that's supposed to be so bad for you. It was actually, the results were much more impressive than any Alzheimer's drug to date. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting that they say, well, you know, it causes cancer, it's bad for you, don't bother taking it. And yet this, I mean, in one of our most dread diseases, it seemed to offer protection and kept patients independent for longer.
That's right. I would wonder the benefit if it included all the other tocopherols, like gamma tocopherol.
Yeah, imagine how much more beneficial it might be. Yeah.
Exactly. So most studies that are available for researchers indicate that gamma tocopherol is much more beneficial. Gamma tocopherol combined with the other tocopherols is much more beneficial than just synthetic alpha tocopherol, and it's more protective. So a study that does not include gamma tocopherol is simply not a good study because, again, most of the studies indicate that gamma tocopherol is more protective. In terms of selenium, the type of selenium that was used is L-selenium methionine, and the studies that show that selenium is protective against prostate cancer in both animal studies and human studies used selenized yeast.
Yep.
That type of selenium has a combination of a few components, not to be overly technical and scientific, but it includes L-selenomethionine along with selenocysteine and selenum, other different types of forms,
right,
that work together. They seem to work together. So I decided to call an expert that evening, and he graciously picked up the phone, and he's a biochemist, a nutritional biochemist, expert in selenium, and he did mention, yeah, absolutely, the yeast form actually is much more beneficial, and he secretly told me, and this is just between you and I, Ron. And
okay, so our listeners don't have to cover their ears? Okay, they can listen. Okay, okay.
You know, and there's a study result coming out of Penn State looking at selenium made from yeast, is really much from brewer's yeast, showing benefit in terms of reducing the risk of prostate cancer.
Wow.
In a group of humans.
So this is counterthink, because a lot of people, they examine labels minutely, and they want to see that yeast-free moniker, but actually the selenomethionine may be a more refined form of selenium, and the selenized yeast may be analogous to a broad-spectrum mixed carotenoid or mixed tocopherol that has all the different components that are in nature that are protective. That's very,
you know,
very interesting.
When you try to super concentrate any of these natural ingredients, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. It's reductive.
An example of that, is it not?
It's reductive. We're trying to, you know, it's like super distill something out of nature,
right,
where in nature it's available in a multiplicity of forms. And, you know, I guess that's a lesson that we repeatedly need to remind ourselves of. Okay. So, by the way, if you want to read about this in detail, go to drgeo.com. Also, lots of great articles on a variety of conditions. What can people find there?
Yeah, so anything related to men's health and urological conditions, particularly for females, a lot of bladder pain information, interstitial cystitis, and for men, anything that relates to men's health, prostate, penile health, sexual health, etc. So it's drgeo.com.
Okay, so what's the deal? You know, you go to Langone Medical Center, and do people have to get an intake by a urologist first, a conventional MD, and then they're referred to you, or can they see you directly there?
No, they can see me directly. Typically, all the patients that I see, they've been seen by someone else, and oftentimes they just, you know, hitting a wall in terms of their improvement. But no, they can call my office. Do you mind if I give them
my
office number?
Sure.
It's 646-744-1515. That's 646-744-1515. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Okay. No, and the other thing is that you just mentioned to me while we were chatting before the broadcast that you also have patients all over the country and internationally. So the problem for many of our listeners to this podcast is, you know, they're all over the country. In fact, they're sometimes in other countries. And it's frustrating when we give them a New York number or we say to come to this person in New York City or come to one of my lectures in New York City. But you actually consult with people nationally and internationally offering them advice, limited scope, because you're not claiming to be a medical doctor or a urologist, but you're a naturopathic physician who can provide them with naturopathic care. So that's something, that's an option for those people as well.
Sure, I just got diagnosed with prostate cancer. It's confusing when I look in the internet, and I don't want surgery. What can I do? That's the typical patient that calls me from all over the world for me to give them the proper guidance and to put together the right naturopathic protocol for them.
Great. All right. So ActionPoint, drgo.com, if you want to learn about the male enhancement product with a very memorable name, Mr. Happy, where do you go?
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
The website is people can Google Mr. Happy, or what's the website?
MrHappy.com. I am MrHappy.com, all one word.
Okay, and you are Mr. Happy, because you're always just such a jovial guy to talk to. It's really a pleasure, and you're a font of knowledge, and you handle it delicately and with a humorous touch as well.
So, thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your valuable time, Dr. Gio Espinosa. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
You've just listened to a free podcast brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. F-R-E-E is my favorite four-letter word, but these podcasts do involve time and money to produce. And so in the spirit of defraying some of our very real production costs and to keep these podcasts flowing, I'd like to ask you to consider a couple of things. First, if you like what you're hearing, please share these podcasts with your friends and relatives. Our object is to continue the spectacular growth of the Intelligent Medicine Podcast with the goal of attaining 250,000 podcast downloads per month in 2014. I know that with the help of dedicated listeners like you, it'll happen. Second, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store and consider buying your supplements via our convenient internet portal, or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements that I talk about here on Intelligent Medicine and that I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. And finally, consider becoming a patient at the Hoffman Center. I can personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the Intelligent Medicine principles that you hear about on these podcasts, or, alternatively, make an appointment with Layla Mutin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Anyway, thanks for listening, and continue enjoying our Intelligent Medicine podcasts.